Tess Elul, Monday the 20th of August, Rabbi Gershon Dunner, the Savar of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, Halacha or Superstition, Volume 1.
Good morning, everyone. This is going to be a few-part series. The topic is halacha or superstition. We're going to discuss various things. Today I'm going to focus on the Tzavar Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. Over the series we'll discuss other things also, like peeled onions and garlics overnight, food under your bed, food under your first class seat, food under your baby carriage, and various other things. Each thing we'll do slowly, hopefully. Anyone also has any requests of things they want to hear discussed in the series, feel free to give requests. We'll try and incorporate everything. So today I want to discuss the Tzavar of Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. Is it a halacha that you have to keep? Is it merely a minig? Is it an inyan? Is it a superstition? We'll try and get involved in what this whole tzavar is. Now, some tzavars are very famous. Everyone knows when two brothers get married to two sisters. That's not like the tzavar of Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. That's one of the more famous ones. There are others which are less famous. Not to polish your shoes on the day you travel. Not everyone knows about it so much. Not to go back in the house after you've left the house to go on a journey. That some people do, some people are not prepared. Once they leave, they won't go back in. They'll send someone in to get their passport. We'll try and go through each one slowly.
We always go back to see.
Okay, we're going to go through, we're going to try and explain the reasons why not everyone is makpid on all these 77 savars. Okay. Let's start. First, you have to know, who was Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid? When was he born? Was he contemporary of David HaMelech? Or was he a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov? Or was he somewhere in between? Now, historians argue on the exact year which he was born. It ranges between the year 1100 and 1130, which is about 900 years ago when he was born. He was an early Rishon. I mean, he wasn't Hasidish, like the word Chosid might imply. The Baal Shem Tov was about 600 years after him. He was an early Rishon. Now, there's a famous story which took place to his mother in Europe. We'll see. All the good Ashkenaz with Talmidim, we'll see. There was a famous story that took place to his mother, which a lot of people think it took place with Rashi's mother, but historically the Pashtus that I came out with, it happened to his mother. His mother was pregnant and she was walking next to a shul, and a wagon came and was about to run her over, and she tried to duck into the corner of the wall, and the wall bent in, and therefore she was saved. Now, the Asforim attributed this story to Rashi's mother, but firstly, this story took place in, I hope I pronounced this well, in Troyes, T-R-O-Y-E-S, and not in Worms, where Rashi would have been. Also, the only Sforim that happened to Rashi was Sforim which appeared in the last 100 years, where we have Sforim from up to 500 years ago attributing this story to Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid.
Rashi was born in Troyes, and he went to Worms afterwards.
Correct. But this happened in Worms. So part of this, he really was, had Nisim taking place to him while he was still in his mother's stomach. Okay. Now, he was a Gadol HaDor at the time. Being Uriah, he was a Gadol HaDor at the time. His Talmidim were from the foremost Rishonim of the generations. Talmidim were the Rekeach, the Orizarua, the Hagas, Maimoni, the Smug, and the Smug. Now, if anyone learns Shulchan Aruch, you know that the Ramah always goes with these Rishonim. Whenever the Machlok is Ramah Mechaba, the Mechaba normally goes with the Rashba, the Rosh, the Ramban, the Rambam, the more the Sfaradi, there's more the Sfaradi Rishonim, and the Ramah, who we go like, always end up quoting these Rishonim. So really, his Talmidim were those who were Koveya, the Halacha, for us, for Doridos. Okay. Now I'll say some a few anecdotes that tell you about the holiness of Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid. There's a Hagas Maimoni. Hagas Maimoni was a Talmud. Hagas Maimoni brings down in Hilchas Tannis, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. He's talking about if someone's allowed to fast on Shabbos or not. And he says that if you have someone who is on such a high Madrega that they fast every single day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for such a person, it might be hard for them to eat on Shabbos because their body is not used to eating so much food. And therefore, such a person would be allowed to fast on Shabbos. Because for him, only Shabbos would be not to eat, because eating for him would be damaging. And he writes, V'kach hayonoyig Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid, he used to fast on every single day of the week. Okay. The Ozeruah brings down, it was another Talmud of Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid, that Rebbe Yehuda HaChosid was noyig, that he would fast by Yom Kippur for 48 hours straight, because of the Just like most of Yom Tovim, we make 2 days because of the sake of the Yomer traditionally, Rida Chassid was not able to fast 48 hours in a row. Okay. Now, Teufris, in at least two places in Shas, quotes Rida Chassid, one place in Bamitzia Dafei, and one place is in Ksubas Daf Yud Chesimabes. He's also quoted by the Tashbats and the Matra in separate places. So, the Bishacho and Achron, he brings down what do you do about the Tzavar Rida Chassid? Some of these 77 Tzavars, we're not sure what to do about them. So he says that the Maisa, he was a bigger Baki in Inyoni Chazal and all these Inyonim, more than anyone who ever lived after him. And therefore, he writes, Ein Lahara Achwa, we shouldn't have any questions against him, and we should really try and keep with what he says, because from the year 1100 and on, no one ever lived who was a bigger man in these Inyonim than Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Now, the problem is, and this is a big problem, that it seems to be that some of the Tzavars that he writes is contradicting things that Chazal wrote. And that's a big problem, because we don't like it when people write things against Chazal, so we can try and reconcile various things that you have against Chazal. So, some Achronim say, what do you mean? Ein lanu elo what the Chazal say. And anything against what Chazal say should be disregarded. We should ignore the Tzavar of Rida Chassid if it comes against Chazal. Okay. Chamsoifa also says that we only worry about things that are brought down in Shas. Things that aren't brought down in Shas, we can't be worried about, and therefore some of these things have no makoros in Shas. And again, we shouldn't be worried about them. Because Moshe says in Yerodeh Chel Gimel Simkuf Lamotes that things that we understand the reason of, we should be machmir for, and things that we do not understand the reason of in this Tzavar, we do not be machmir for. So now we're going to go through a lot of the things and we'll try and explain various reasons for them. The Rechaim is not interested in all this. The Rechaim was a Chassid Shagid, was a God Lador, the sons of Rebbe, and he says that we cannot conceptualize the greatness of Rida Chassid. And therefore, even if we think we don't understand it, who are we to say, let's disregard what he said because we don't understand it? And therefore, he is very machmir on these zakh. I think the Chassidim are always more makbid on the Tzavar, and the literature were less makbid. When Rechaim Paladri of Sfaradi was asked about being makel on Tzavar, he said, how can I be makel if there's sofik sakana involved? We'll see soon some of the Tzavars that he mentions. He says, and if you don't do it, someone in town will die, so you will die, your parents will die. Everybody rings. He said, how can we be makel on something that's sofik sakana when we don't understand what's going on? Now, there's a famous tshuva of the Noda B'Huda, which we'll discuss at length. The B'Huda was asked a shayla of someone who wanted to take a son-in-law with the same name as himself. And that is Neged, one of the Tzavars of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And he says, he brings various right. He asks very good kashas against the Tzavar from various gemaras, which again we'll go through soon. And he says that he must be Rabbi Yehuda Chassid only wrote it for his Einiklach. We'll tell you his Loshon soon. Now this Svara, that Tzavar wasn't written for the whole Klal Yisrael, only written for the Einiklach, is brought down in many, many poskim as a tziruf to be made. I.e. the Derichan, the Tanaf Tzedek, the Marasham, the Shem Arya, and the Moshe all say, when have a shayla which pertaining to the Tzavar, say, ah, maybe it's only for the Einiklach, and therefore there's more of a reason one could be Mekel. We'll get there. Now, they once had a meeting of Rabbanim in the times of Marasham, and they asked, what do we do about Tzavar Rechot? People are getting worried, should we keep it, should not keep it? The Metzes met, I think, in the Bournemouth of those days, they all went down to meet in the winter holidays, and they discussed what to do. And Marasham stood up and said, I've got an admission to make. My name is Shmuel, and my father's name is Yehuda. And we are Einiklach of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And in Tzavar Nun Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid writes, Lo yikra ish mizaray es b'no Yehuda v'lo Shmuel. One should not call his children either Yehuda or Shmuel. Says the Marasha, therefore, it can't even be that it was Einiklach, because otherwise my father and my grandfather would have kept the Tzavar. It must be that we don't keep it. Maybe he wants to suggest Rabbi Yehuda Chassid only wrote it as Tzavar for his children directly, but not for all the Doris forever, and therefore it's going to be okay. Now we can see soon, I have a raya from one of the Tzavars that it wasn't only written for his children. It must have been written for others. I'll tell you right now. In the same Tzavar, he says, Lo yodur koyhen b'Regensburg. That in this town, Regensburg, no kohanim should settle. Now Rabbi Yehuda Chassid was not a kohen. And therefore, you can't say it for his children, because they would never be Kahanim. His Einiklach could be Kahanim, because if his daughters would marry a Kohen, then his grandchildren would be Kahanim. So it could be for his Einiklach, but to say it's only for his children is a bit of a stretch, because he wasn't a Kohen, and he talks about Kahan. Okay. Now, some things also are brought down the Halacha. The Mechaber and the Ramah in various places in Shulchan Aruch bring down the Tzavar. Now, to say that it's only for the Einiklach it doesn't really make sense because the Mechaber Amor wrote their Sforim for the whole Klal Yisrael, not just for the Inglis. Others argue they're very nice. The things that are brought down by the Mechaber Amor, they chose to incorporate into Jewish law, and therefore that's for everyone. The things that are not are only for the Inglis, and that could be. So I'm not machin a vek. I'm not saying it's not true the Tzad that only for the Inglis, but these there are various things brought down in Halacha, and I'll enumerate some of them. The Mechaber in Shin Lamentes says, Ein lohaniach kever pasuach. You shouldn't leave a dug-up grave overnight empty. Now, in Enfield you go, you see ever someone's left up on Islam, that morning they're always busy digging the grave. They don't have like a whole section of ready-dug graves. And the reason is because it's halacha. Because Mechaber ben Dan, like Rizakov said, you're not supposed to leave an empty grave overnight. And we'll see later why this could be. Nafkuminus la'alacha. Ein lishchot aveiz b'shvat. The Ramah in Yerodea says you shouldn't shecht a goose in the month of Shvat. Now, I don't know if people are Yemap or not. My sister Ramah in Simon Yud Aleph in Yerodea.
Nobody hears
that, so it must be. It's a Ramah. Yeah, but Ramah is one from one of the good people, yeah. Now, this is quite a famous one. It's brought down in Reish Samachay in Yerodea. Ein la'odam echad li'oi sandak beis pa'amin. You shouldn't give some decoys of your children to the same person twice. Now, that a lot of people are Makpid. We can see maybe tomorrow. Oh, we'll see the various reasons behind it, and we'll see nafkin minutes to feed these reasons. Very good point. We'll get there in Meitz Hashem sometime this week. I want people to come back tomorrow, basically. That's right. Okay. Now, the problem is that if you look at genealogy, someone who's born 900 years ago, Pashtus, if you make simple mathematics, most people nowadays are eniklach of such a person through one bron, because we have so many different lines of grandparents, great-grandparents intermarrying, that unless you are a ger, it's very not mistaba that Rudachos is not your grandfather. So some Achronim Shemaris says down, very nice, and Rudachos says only for his grandchildren. But how can you know you're not from a grandson? Do you know all your genealogy to say that you zicha avoided him in the line? You don't know that. And therefore, it could be kedai to be machmir as a sophic that you could be from his grandchildren. Okay. There's another proof. They want to say a proof that it was written just for his Enikos. Because in that same Savar, Nun Aleph, that we just looked at about the Kohen living in Regensburg, he also says, "Lo yidor rav behilburg, a rabbi of a town should not settle in Hilburg." Now the Achronim say, "I don't understand. What did the poor people of Hilburg do wrong that they wouldn't get a rav forever?" So if you say it's for the Enochlech, okay, it's a very nice rabbonus. It's a very sought after rabbonus. Just I think my Enochlech shouldn't take it. But if you're going to say it's written for Chol Yisrael, it's very not mistaba that he wrote off a whole town as being destined to not have a rav. There's a child in the Sefer Achron, Achron Sefer called the Churis Nishal Ledovit. And someone there says, we're writing a get in the town of Hilburg, and we want to know, how do you spell Hilburg? Yeah, how do you write it? And he writes back, listen, it's a very interesting child, but I'm sure it's never been asked before. So I'll tell you why. Because Buddha Chosid said that no Rav should live there. If no Rav ever lived there, there was never a get there before. And therefore, I don't want to tell you, because Pashtus, no Rav ever lived there. He assumed that it was written for everyone, and therefore, Taka, no Rav should ever live there. Now, this is Chazanish. Chazanish says, the Gemara Pesachim says about son in Yoni Sakona, that whoever's makpid should be makpid, whoever's not makpid, don't worry about it. And I'll pee that. A lot of people are makel. We know that in town there are a few people who have married two brothers and sisters. They all ask a doylim first. And they say, if you're not makpid, don't worry about it. You don't have to makpid on it. And they're good to go.
In the paper.
What did you say? Oh, we can't live in the same street, the same town. Even everything will be discussed. I hope four shurim will be enough. Maybe I might be in another series next week. Okay. Now I want to go through a few of these savaros in depth, and we'll discuss them. So savar base, which we already mentioned, is about leaving an open cave. The savar is ein nachsa cave. You shouldn't dig a cave. Or neach pasuach im ein noist in boy hames ba'odion. Ve'im yanichenu pasuach. If you leave this grave open overnight, ad haboker. Within a short time, Yomus Echod Mibnei Ha'eh. He says, someone in town is going to die unnecessarily because you left this cave open. Rukiega there brings, because it's brought down Halacha, that within 15 days, someone would die in town because you left the cave open. Now, there are a few reasons brought down in Poskim as to this day. One reason is they bring down. This we don't have time for. The Koiches Hatumah are a rule there if you have a cave open. What that means, I don't know exactly. The Bikiyosi says a very nice trap. Bikiyosi says it's not talking about generally leaving a cave open. It's talking about if you have someone who's unfortunately about to die, and he's hovering, he's a ghost, he's almost dying. If you go and dig a cave for him, it's a bad muzzle for him. Hashem sees that, the Sultan sees, oh, we're planning already his death, let's kill him anyway and he'll go in the cave. Okay. And the other reason, the similar reason, the first one, that Mazikim come to the place of the Kvura, and there's no, they're coming there because they're assuming every caver there's a dead body, and the Mazikim come, they hang out with dead people. They come there, oh, there's no dead person here, let's move on to town, and we'll find someone else, make him dead, and we'll hang out with him. Okay. It's so important that Halacha, the Bach, discusses it. He says, you have Erev Shabbos, someone who's almost dying, he's a goyis, and Erev Shabbos, it's almost Shabbos. He says, no, it doesn't matter, you shouldn't dig a caver for him, only if you know you'll have time to refill it if he doesn't die. Now, the Aruch Shulchan, this is a really big chiddush. Aruch Shulchan says, what happens if you have a cave open, and Shabbos comes in, and no one died, and you have an open cave, and you're about to leave it overnight, and in doing so, we have the sakana of someone might die, like this is it. He says you can be mekel to do amira la'akum, to tell a goy to fill it up, because amira la'akum is mutter b'mokum sakana. This is Aruch Shulchan from 100 years ago, who takes it to be such a sakana that la'halocha, he allows you to refill the cave on Shabbos by a goy, because it's a big sakana. Okay. Yeah, I'm saying, but it's not just like a metaphysical sakana that we think it's sakana. Like, he lahalok lamaisa was mekel. He over this rabbanon, which is mechuyev to most nefesh. Not you have to give all your money not to be over. He said you're over it. B'machum sakana. Now, the problem is there are a few kashas on this. There are a few gemaras that seem to imply differently. There's a gemara in Moed Katan Daf Ches. It says ein lach boy kever b'moed. One shouldn't dig a kever on Moed. And Rashi says the minig was they would dig a kever to have it in their back pocket in case they ever need it. Question. We just said you're not allowed to do that. The Imam Baba Basa Daf Kufan Bey says, Hamoicha Kivroi, so that's someone who sells his kaver. Now, Rashbam says, he's not selling a kaver with someone inside it. He was selling an empty kaver which had already been dug. Question is, we just said that we have Gemaras seemingly implying that they didn't keep the Tzavar of Rudachos. Now, on that, there's two Mahalchim. The Stechemed wants to answer that the whole problem is if you dig it to its final depth. If you dig the kaver, however, I don't know, Chekhodisha, but however, they normally dig a cave, if you dig it that deep, that's a problem. If you dig it and you leave it, there's still more work to be done, then it would be a case. So you could answer, our Peter Stechemet, that these Gemaras are talking about a case when it wasn't dug to its final depth, therefore there's no sakana, and still you want to sell it because you want to get some money. Now, Bik Yosef said a very good answer. He says that the whole problem is, it's for a goysis. The whole problem was that it's a bad muzzle for someone hovering between life and death to dig it. So to my guy, wasn't a goysis, a normal guy dug his own cave, because that's not a problem, because the Tzavar only written for a goysis. And then he wants to sell it, and therefore he got no stira, bichla. Another Tzavar Yud Beis. This I have heard people in Enfield talking about. A lot of these Tzavars pertain to either death or marriage. It's an interesting thing. We'll see soon. I didn't say that. Okay. Lo yelech odom al kever echad beis pa'amim b'yoyim echad. You shouldn't go back to a kever the same day that you were already there. So the Tzavar Rudachos, you shouldn't go back to a kever. And this was brought down in Arizal, the Magen Avraham, the Kvi Eger, and the Kiv Shulchan Aruch. You know that the Mechab and Ramah don't bring it. All these poskim do bring it. The Achronim are Mekel if you're still within 4 Amos of the kever. We always find that 4 Amos is still a cool part of the kever. Kahanim don't go within 4 Amos of a kever. The Achronim say if you're still there, it's going to be okay and you can go back. The Be'er Moshe, who is a Heintiger, the Bersina, he wants to be Mechadosh that perhaps if you're still in the same Beis HaKvaros, you could still be Mekel and go back. That's a Chiddush, he's Mustopik about it. The Yad Ephraim brings down that only to go and ask for something else, to go and daven. Again, I'm not saying we don't daven to the Mason, we daven that they should intercede on our behalf to Hashem, but only for going back to daven that they should intercede on a new request. But let's say if you left your hat there, or you're just going to pick up, that's not a problem. He also wants to declare that maybe if a new need arose through daven, a new something, someone called you up, oh, someone's not well, you're by Meron, go back in, daven again. So if something new came up, maybe it would be okay. Okay, that is that Tzavar. People are mucked on that one. Tzavar Chopes. Here it gets really controversial. Here he writes, Lo yisa odom bas achiv oi bas achise. One should not marry his niece. Ah, the problem is the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. I remember I was in Yeshiva, one of my roommates got engaged to their niece. And he called up the Yeshiva to ask Yeshayla, should he call his sister mummy or not? Okay, that was it. But the Gemara says it's a mitzvah. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah. The Gemara Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis, says it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. So the Noid Behuda goes to town about this. He says, he doesn't understand how can the Tzavar say an Issa about something which the Gemara says is a mitzvah. Gemara Pelagod. Good question. And on this says the Buddha very, very interesting word. He says, "Ein rishus la'adam leilech neged ha-Torah." One does not have permission to go against the Torah. "Ve'im ochakein," and if he does so, "vadai hu loy chacham." It must be he's not a chacham. However, we just discussed Rida Chassid was a gadol hador who had talmidim gadol hador, and Chas v'Shalom to say that about Rida Chassid goes the Buddha on to say, "Ve'im on yoidim shu chacham." If we happen to know that this person is a chacham, "umuchzik b'Torah v'yira," and he's muchzik to be a person who is strong in his Torah and his Yerushalayim, you have to say an answer. You have to forenfer. You have to answer that he either only said it l'shah, only said it for that time, oy l'mishpacha masuim, or to a certain family. You know it's a mitzvah. He says with his ruchodesh that this family shouldn't partake in this mitzvah. The Divrei Chaim, my grandfather, wants to propose an answer to this. He wants to say that in the times of Chazal, we know it was a mitzvah to do yibum. So if someone died without children, then the wife would marry the brother of the dead person. The Hakamak Hashem, and make her to keep the family line going. And Chazal, nowadays, we don't do yibum. Nowadays, we do chalitza. Chazal said, we don't do yibum anymore, we do chalitza. So he says, just like it was a mitzvah to yibum, and now we do chalitza, so too, what the Chassid said. We used to marry anis, now we don't marry anis. That's what the Rechaim would say in truth. On that, Chacham Avadia comes along in the Abir Omer, and he doesn't like this. He said, I understand. He said, by Yibum, there was a much bigger problem. Before the Heta of Yibum, there was an Issa of Eishes Ach. You're not allowed to marry your brother's wife. However, because the Torah says that the Makom Mitzvah of Yibum, it's allowed there. So on that, Chazal said, no, maybe now we'll go to the original Issa and say you shouldn't do so anymore because it's not called a mitzvah, because maybe not Mechavan Hashem mitzvah, you're Mechavan Hashem something else. That's what Chazal saw fit to do. However, here you can't say that. Here there's no Issa in marrying your niece. It's only a good thing. So how can you just make up from yourself that you should not marry your niece if it's a Seder Gemara, it's a mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't like it. The Tshuva Sefer called the Evin Harsha, he says a very nice terrace. He says as like, so we know nowadays that when you marry very close into your own family, there's a problem of medical issues. If the genes are too similar, medical issues can arise. There are some Chassid Rebbes whose children marry their first cousins, and there have been medical issues in their families. Therefore, said Evin Harsha, in times of Chazal, Chazal said it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. So even though you're taking a risk, because by marrying one's niece, you're at risk of medical issues. You know, because you're doing a mitzvah, show me a mitzvah, you're a rosh. Someone does a mitzvah, no harm will come to them. However, if you're not mechavan l'shem mitzvah, if you're doing it l'shem taiva or something else, then you don't have the protection of people doing a mitzvah, no harm shall befall them. The Meile, Rida Chassid said that if you're marrying your niece not for altruistic purposes, you're marrying it because for taiva purposes, you've lost your protection against the medical issues, and therefore it shouldn't be. It's a nice shot. Rabbi Huda goes on to say other times against the Tzavar. I'll mention them now. He says that the Tzavar Chof Zion says that a father and a son should not marry two sisters. Yeah. One second, where is it? It is. Yeah, I can't find it. Oh, v'loy nosu beis achoyos la'av obanoy. Two sisters should not marry a father and a son. Now he asks, and it's a beautiful children, he goes through the whole shas, and on top of his head, just asking questions on it. He says, Gemara Ksubos Nun Beis, everyone knows, Gemara Ksubos Nun Beis says, that a papa and his son married two sisters. So how can you say you can't marry two sisters? That's question number one. I understand, Rida Chassid can't come implement something that Chazal, we see that Gedolim and Amoraim did so. He says, what's going on? Another question he says, the famous one, the two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters, that's Savar Chafei, everyone knows two brothers should marry two sisters. So Gemara Brachos brings down about Kahanim, 80 pairs of brothers married 80 pairs of sisters. So often the Gemara. So how can Rida Chassid go against the Gemara? Now, in that Gemara, there's a very unfortunate ending there. They all ended up being hung and they all died on the same day. So the Zichron Huda says, huh, look what happened there. It's not the biggest riot that you shouldn't do so, because then Gemara, they all had a sorry ending. But still, the Gemara doesn't say it's a bad, the Gemara says a good thing that these Kahanim married these people.
Can I ask you, in all these things, you would have thought they're saying it, there's a religious reason, say it's not a good idea.
Oh, very good. That's beautiful. That's the main answer we're going to say. The main answer to all these things
but
are...
Nobody argued with him in his time?
I don't think so. But the main Achronish answer to all this, like you said, they want to say, he didn't say it's awesome. The law Yisra, he is saying that I see a Ruach HaKodesh, that no good will come out from such a zivuk. It won't be a good thing. Now, either for his grandchildren or for everyone. But he's not saying it's Osa. He's not saying, the Gemara of 80 Kanim, they were bad. Chafishon, they're very good people. He is not recommending this. Some Shidduchim are recommended because the girl is not a nice girl. Some Shidduchim are not recommended because we see up Ruach Kodesh, it won't go good. And therefore, that's the most common Geshmaka answer to say. And I was speaking last night to Mr. Baruch Emanuel, who's now just... What did he say? And he is married to David Chanto's daughter, and his brother Jackie is married to Donald's daughter as well. And I told him, I'm speaking about Tzavi Bechosid, because you're speaking against me. I said, not at all. I said, we can say all the reasons that... He said that when he got married, they went to ask three Gedolim first. And we'll see a lot of Achorim say that if you have three Gedolim who are Mekel, he went to Tzolak Fisher and Rabbi Yashiv and one more person, and they all said, you're good to go, you should do it, it should be with Tzachat Lach. And again, he's not saying it's also they want to say, he's saying he wasn't recommending it. Perhaps for his Enigluch, perhaps not the Enigluch. Again, less Hasidic Rabbanim are not so worried about this. It's not Shtei Nishtin Shulchan Aruch, they're not so worried about it. It's more the Hasidim who cause the problem. Correct. He wasn't Hasidic because he was 600 years before the first Chassid was born.
Hayekas existed already, didn't
he? I'm sure. Yeah. They were on time then too. Okay. I saw a nice reason why two brothers should marry two sisters. They want to say, because it makes the mitzvah of Yibum impossible to be done. Because then you end up, you end up with two wives who are sisters. And that you can't do. You're not allowed to have two wives or sisters, only if the first wife is dead. If the father alive, you can't do so. And therefore that could be the reason why he said it. Okay. One more question we're going to ask him today. The Imam Aish asked a question. He says also a very famous... that a father-in-law and son-in-law shouldn't have the same name. Everyone knows this. Now, Agav, Nabi Huda was asked about this question, and he there says, he thinks the show is bonkers. He says, you understand? The people, same name, son-in-law, you can't have the same name. He says, I see people who take son-in-laws, Amaratzim, that the Gemara says is also to do. But to have a Talmud Chacham with the same name, they shy away from, they run away. He says, you guys have lost the plot. Your priorities are all wrong. And there are some of the Gemara and Soit stuff Yud says, that Shmuel Saba was the father-in-law of Shmuel. How can that be? Shmuel. On that, the famous answer is that Shmuel Saba had two names, and he only had one name, and therefore it's going to be elect. As well. Figured all the Mechutonim. Okay, I think to be continued, we've set the groundwork so far. We'll carry on more tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Thank you everyone for listening.